Bow with me in prayer, please. Eternal Father, the great God of heaven, the author and finisher of our salvation, the giver and sustainer of all life, thank you for allowing us, thank you for calling us into your presence this morning. Thank you for all the blessings that you have shared in these past days and the way you have ministered to us. God, we have watched you be strong in our behalf. We have felt you empower us. We have received the ministry of the Holy Spirit in these past days. And we understand by your grace, by your mercy, that you love us. Oh God, thank you for being a great and wonderful God. Thank you for being a God of salvation who was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you for giving us so many second chances. We ask you to forgive us this morning for our sins. We have turned away from you. We have sometimes knowingly turned to our own way and turned our back to you. Other times we've been caught off guard. But our Father, we confess our sins to you, and we pray that you will cleanse us. Help us to be alert all the time. Help us to meditate on your word, to understand, so that we might be aware of Satan's presence, that we might be on guard all the time, and be proper ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ in your kingdom. Our Father, we do offer up our thanksgiving for the way you have worked in our family in these past days. Thank you for laying your healing hand on all those that have suffered physically. Think of those we mentioned earlier, and we thank you for undertaking for them. Thank you for the wisdom of doctors and nurses and all that they have learned. God, it is only you that heals. Thank you for being a God of healing and for working in their behalf. I pray, Father, that you will continue to strengthen. I pray that you will continue to heal. Thank you, Father, for the way you have walked with those who have been in spiritual battles in these past days. And I pray that you will be their strong defender. I pray that you will continue to minister to them. And I pray, Father, that in the midst of their battle, they will not lose sight of the fact that you are in control. Nothing touches us that you don't allow. And so, Father, help them to look to you. Help them to reach out. Help them to continue to walk forward, so that when they come forth, they are tried as gold. Thank you for all the blessings that you have brought to us as a church family. Thank you for the ministry that we have in this community. And thank you, Father, for those that are responding to the gospel, and many of our folks are involved in relationships where they are presenting Christ. I pray that you'll give them wisdom. I pray that you'll watch over them. And I pray, Father, that you will bring them success and allow them to see fruit for their labor. We want to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ who live in Paris. And we pray, our Father, that in the midst of all of this, people will come to know you as Savior. We pray that there will be a time of healing and a time of strengthening. And we pray that in all of this, you will be seen as the triumphant leader over evil. It is hard for us. It is hard for us to understand there or here, but it is not hard for us to understand that you are a sovereign God. It is not hard for us to understand that what we see in our daily lives around us is the physical, visible working of the living Word of God. And so, Father, help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Help us to continue to trust. And now I pray that it is you that does the speaking, and I pray that it is the Holy Spirit given unrestrained liberty to teach us in our hearts as we look into your word this morning. Father, we love you, and we give you the praise and the honor and the glory that is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week I talked to you about the fact that many people don't give to God because they don't understand God's laws of giving. They don't understand how that whole program works, and so oftentimes they don't give at all, or when they give very little. Now, I want to say, if you're visiting this morning, you just came in at a very special time. In November, we have a special harvest offering that we do above that goes to missions or just whatever the Lord leads, and I don't have to talk about giving money, because God has blessed us richly and our people understand. And so I understand too that I'm not sharing anything new with you, but I trust that perhaps this will be some things you can use to help friends of yours who don't understand God's laws of giving. And if something I say applies, then praise the Lord, you can use it to move further along. So I just want you to understand that. When we understand how God has designed his ministry of giving to us, we begin to understand how he uses us and he blesses us through what we give back to him. You learned last week. Let me ask you something. Do you happen to know how much of the Bible you have to read? If you were to start at Genesis 1:1, do you happen to know how much you'd have to read before you read that God gives something? Write down the answer if you think you know. Well, you'd have to read 27 verses. A whole 27 verses. I'm going to Genesis chapter 1. It would be fun if you would come with me. Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 28. I said you have to read 27. So it starts in 28. So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you, what's the next word? Every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. To all the beasts of the earth and all the creatures of the air and all creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God began by giving everything that they needed to live. Everything. He withheld nothing. And the whole point of it here is that God demonstrates his generosity to Adam and Eve by giving them everything. And beloved, understand this. Some 6, maybe 7,000 years later, God has not changed his modus operandi. He gives to every one of us everything we need. Now, Ryan read out of Psalm 84, which is the focal chapter or the focal passage for this morning. You remember verse 10, don't you? In Psalm 84, a little while ago, it was a memory verse. David said, I would rather spend a day in the house of my God than 1,000 elsewhere. It's better to dwell in the house than it is to dwell in the house of the wicked. David said, I would rather be there than anywhere else. Is that how it works with you? Is that kind of your philosophy of life? God does not keep anything back from those who walk uprightly and who live their lives according to the laws of God. He does not squander, nor does he waste his blessings on those who live a life and lifestyle contrary to what Scripture says. God's blessings are rewards that he extends to his adopted children who have given their heart to him and their life in full surrender. Why? Because God first gave to them. So if you're one that might be thinking God's holding out on you before you start wagging your finger in his face, look carefully and look closely at the motives and the intents of your heart and be very, very sure that what you find there is in harmony with what God teaches us in his living word. In verse 12 of Psalm 84, David says, O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. It is a biblical truth that many people, even Christians, often forget that you can trust God with your money. You can trust God with your money. Now, listen, stay with me because I'm going to share something with you at the end that is important for you to understand. But so watch this. I find it interesting that people come to the point in their life where they will trust their entire eternity to God. And there are just a gob of us in this room this morning that are trusting our entire eternity in what God has promised in salvation, right? We're taking him at his word. And at the same time, people who trust God with their eternity find it really, really difficult to trust him with their wallet. Oxymoron, isn't it? In Romans chapter 11, I got to go there because I don't have the whole thing memorized yet. Romans chapter 11, in verse 33, it says this. Do you have a Bible that has little subtitles in it? Is the Bible you're using? Okay, is there a subtitle above 33? Doxology? Oh, good, I've got a good Bible then because that's what's in mine. And I was hoping. Okay, you know what doxology means? Praise to the Lord. We sing it on Communion Sunday. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's what this is. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has made known the mind of the Lord, or who's been his counselor? Who's ever given to God that God should repay him? From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's asking the question, who's given a gift to God and not been repaid by God for the gift given? Any person that's ever given any gift to God, money, talent, time, anything, has done so out of the desire of their heart. Now, I don't care what your attitude, but beloved, if you do something to the Lord, if you put something in the plate, if you show up tomorrow, if you teach, if you minister, if whatever, you do it out of the desire of your heart. Now, you may think, oh, I have to do that. But it is you that makes the final decision, I will do that. And so what we do because we want to. And most of the time it's because we realize what God has already given us. Listen, what God has already given us, if he didn't give us anything else but salvation. Huh? And what we begin to see is that God not only blesses, not only repays the principal, but he adds interest in an exorbitant amount. God always pays back way more than we give. One pastor makes this interesting point. He says, God wants you to know you can trust him with your money. It is the reverse of what God is doing with you. What? I'm going to explain that. About a year ago, one of our memory verses was Deuteronomy 8:18. 8:18, you remember? You got it? Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to earn wealth. Very important verse tucked away there in Deuteronomy. God gives us all the ability and all the opportunity that we have to generate an income. Beloved, whatever it is you're doing to earn an income, the ability to do it came from God. So the reality is, it is God who gives us our money. And He then asks us this question. Can I trust you with this money? God could ask that question this way. Can I trust you with my money? You don't have to raise your hand. Raise an eyebrow. How many of you look at your paycheck and see it as a gift from God? It is. It is a gift. And before you say, wait a minute, Pastor. I worked hard for this money. I earned this money legitimately. It's mine and I earned it. And we have a tendency to think like that. But before we get too wrapped up in that whole idea, what we have to remember is, who gave us the talent or the ability to earn the money? Well, it was God. So it all starts with Him. The reality of life, folks, really is that it's God's talent He's loaned to us that we're using to earn an income. Therefore, it's necessary that we show God we can be trusted with what He has given us. And we do that by giving some of it back to Him. There's a very familiar passage in the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. I had a professor that called him Malachi, said he was the only Italian writer in the Bible. I think it's pronounced Malachi. And in chapter 3 and verse 10, everyone has heard of that. Starting in verse 8, will a man rob God? But you rob me, God says. And you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Then in verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me, God says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you'll not have room enough for it. Most everyone knows that 10% was the Old Testament standard or the Old Testament requirement for giving. Most people today believe that if they're giving 10% of their money or more, that they're fulfilling Malachi 3:10. They're fulfilling part of it. You'll notice very carefully that God says, bring the full, the whole tithe into the storehouse. What do you think that God means by the whole tithe? If you go back to Leviticus chapter 27 and you read verse 30, it says, bring every tithe of the land, whether of the seas or of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's, it is holy to the Lord. The full tithe is all sources of income. You ever think of it like that? All sources of income. Some people think that they tithe their paycheck and they've done the right thing. And they have in that part. But they don't tithe things like income from garage sales, tax refunds, sale of other property, gifts, all those things. The full tithe. Everything that God gives to us, here's an old word I just made up, is tithable. You see, it all comes from God. I can tell by the look on some of your faces that you're going, really? I'm not too sure about this. You do some work on this and see. Withholding from the Lord is not something we invented here in America. It was invented in Eden when Adam and Eve withheld from God the honor and the obedience that he was due. But in Acts chapter 5, we read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You remember them? They sold a piece of property. They said, let's sell this property. And they saw somebody else do it, and somebody else did it in a right heart. And they said, well, that's a really good idea. Let's do that, and people will clap for us too. And so they sold the property, and they said, now, we'll take this part and give it to the Lord, and we'll keep this part. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with that idea. They messed up when they gave what they agreed to the Lord and said, that's all there was. That's all of it. That was the problem. And you remember what happened? They died right there. God's pretty serious about this whole idea of deceiving him when it comes time to give to him. The people of Israel had been doing the same thing forever, but especially in Malachi's time, of keeping part of what rightly belonged for the Lord. And beloved, listen to me. When you keep what belongs to the Lord, it never works out. It won't. God's bookkeeping is 100% accurate. Last week, we learned that God's law of giving requires that you give first. Now listen carefully. Actually, you're not doing that. You're giving in response because God has first given to you. And in Malachi 3:10, he's saying this. You bring the full tithe into me first. Why? Well, I'm not going to hoard it. What I'm doing is I want you to bring the tithe in so the Levites, the priests, who don't have any land and who don't work the land, have something to eat. I'm taking care of them. You bring that in so they're taken care of. And then when that happens, I'll work with you. It's important to see how God is demonstrating to us his own consistency. You see, it was God who first gave the land of Israel to the people. And before they ever went in to take it, it was a land of milk and honey, wasn't it? It was very productive, prosperous. We read that when the spies went in, they brought out some of the grapes, and I got to work on this, but it says, took two guys to carry out. They had it on a pole, and they were carrying. Those must have been some grapes. And the idea is, God gave to them a land that was already productive. And when you bring the tithe in, then you're putting me to test. And that test is to see if I will respond to you so that all your needs are met. Does that kind of make sense? Here's the thing. It is the act of tithing that puts God to the test. And God gives us permission to do that. Now listen very carefully, because when Jesus is tempted, he says to Satan, you will not put your God to the test or tempt the Lord your God. They're two different situations, because you remember Satan was telling, hey, chuck yourself off here. God's not going to let you hurt yourself. Call his bluff. Jesus says, you don't do that. In this matter, God says, I give you permission to put me to the test. You bring the full tithe into the storehouse. And in doing that, then you put me to the test to see if I'm going to respond to you. So here's what God is saying. You can trust me with your money. And the reason we can trust God is because he trusts us enough to give it to us in the first place. And he's showing us how to be trustworthy. I will return to you, he says, so much that you can't hold it all. Let me ask you something. I think some of you understand this. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where God has begun to pour out blessings on you, and they just keep coming and coming and coming and coming? It seems like almost every time you turn around, there's another blessing that just sort of pours out on you, and you almost feel like saying, stop! Because you don't want to waste it. Have you ever been blessed like that? God delights in doing that, so that we almost feel like saying, stop, I just can't take it. It's too fast. It's too much. And when we trust God the way we should, then God works that way. Now, my question to you is this. Is this the attitude that you have in your giving? Is this the whole way you look at giving to God? Now, I think most of you do look at it that way. And most of you would say that what I give to the Lord, I give out of the desire of my heart, because I understand that I've already been given more than I ever expected to receive. I don't think my father-in-law coined the phrase, but he always said, you can't outgive God no matter how much you give. He said that. There. Okay. And that's true. And there's another law of giving that we have to look at. And it is closely associated with you being able to trust God with your money, and that law is that you reap what you sow. Proverbs 11:24 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer, and another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Proverbs 19:7 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. He, the Lord, will repay him. David says in Psalm 37:21, the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, we read, whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Someone said this once, if you don't, the spiritual law of giving is you have to give before you can receive. Someone said, if you don't give to God his 10%, you don't get to keep it either. And I used to think, what? How can you figure that out? If you want to test this, and you're not giving as you should, add up all your unexpected expenses in a year's time and see what portion of your income it is. It'll surprise you. Now, everybody has unexpected expenses. I get that. But listen, beloved, those who follow God's laws of giving have finances to meet those unexpected needs without it throwing them in a tizzy. It's just the way God works. Another truth is that people who manage their money according to biblical principles and give to God will tell you they don't miss that money, because they understand God has given them all that they can use. And somebody will say, well, I'll tell you what, I want to give, but I can't until I get everything straightened out. And when I get it all straightened out, then I'll give to God. I can tell you something. You can have that philosophy from now to the rapture, and it ain't going to happen. You can't get straightened out on your own, whether it's in your billfold, your heart, your life, your relationships, or anything else. You come to God first. God's response to your plea, listen, this, some of you need to share this with people you know. God's response will be, you bring all the tithe into the storehouse, then I'll open the storehouses of heaven for you. Now, that's just the way it works. And from beginning to end, that's the way Scripture teaches. Now, I want to share this with you as I bring this to a close. I've talked about principles of financial management. By the way, if you're looking for a good book on budget management and learning how to live your life and to be financially secure and free, even wealthy, the best book that's ever been written on it is the book of Proverbs. You ought to read it. I told you, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Every principle that I have shared with you last week and this week works in your spiritual life. It works in your prayer life. It works in your ministry with others. It works in any part of your life. And it starts working in your heart. So, if you want people to look at you and treat you the way you ought to be treated, or you think you ought to be treated, or better yet, the way the Bible says we're to treat one another, then here's a suggestion. You first, before any effort is made on their part, you first extend to them mercy. You give to them before they give to you grace, acceptance, love, compassion, patience, guidance, teaching, long-suffering. Do this. Whatever it is you would like to have from God, give to others. And listen carefully. You give it to those people the same way, in the same proportion, and in the same amount you want God to give it to you. See what happens. If you'll try that, I think you'll catch on to this whole thing, because God says, with the same measure you use, it will be given back to you. So, beloved, if you're only dishing out a teaspoon of grace or a teaspoon of mercy, a tablespoon of love, an ounce of patience, that's all you're going to get. Because you see, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And all that. So think about that. This is the way God works. And beloved, listen, God has eternal and infinite resources that he wants to pour out on you in good measure, packed down, running over, poured where? Into your bank account. No, you don't even have to go to the bank. God wants to pour it into your lap. And that's a pretty good place to have it.